Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What's good for you? What's harmful for you? What's profitable and what's hurtful? It's hard to know. So many experts nowadays. One day, something is good for you. The next day, it causes cancer. One day, something is harmful and hurtful. The next day, it's a superfood. You prayed in the collect that God, whose never-failing providence orders all things both in heaven and on earth, would put away from you all hurtful things and would give to you all things that are profitable for you. But that's kind of vague. You don't specify what things are harmful and what things are profitable that you're asking for. You're not like a little child who believes there are monsters under his bed that are harmful, or who believes that Oreos and ice cream would be the most profitable dinner. You, a child of your heavenly Father, simply entrust to His provision, because His never-failing providence orders all things in heaven and on earth, that He would know and give you what's profitable and would know and guard you from what's harmful. You plead your own ignorance of what's harmful and what's profitable, and you leave everything to His gracious provision. This is your Heavenly Father's will, after all. It has been His will from the beginning. The Old Testament reading from Genesis 2 records that in the garden, it is the Creator's will to give to Adam what is profitable for him and to guard him from the things that are harmful to him. What would be harmful? Not just eating from the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but disobedience would be harmful. Transgressing His limits would be harmful. Seeking to be His own God, His own Creator, is the most harmful thing for Adam. And so God puts Adam in his right place. He puts him in order where he belongs. He is submissive to his Creator. He yields to his Heavenly Father's will, knowing that to disobey, to break out of those creaturely limits, is dangerous. And what is profitable for Adam? To be in his place. To be within the limits that God prescribes for him. To depend on his Creator for everything. The bounty and the beauty of the garden around him is profitable for Adam. There's only one tree that's off limits. And all of this is designed for Adam to receive the greatest gift, his Creator, as his God and provider for him. And everything goes along swimmingly for about 26 verses of chapter 2 until the wheels come off in Genesis 3. And one creature who was more crafty than all the others while he still had legs deceives the Lord's jewels of his creation, entices them to breach their limits, to step outside the boundaries that God had given to them. And so now, even though your Creator orders all things in heaven and on earth, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, creation is disordered. And yet it remains your Heavenly Father's will to answer your petition in the collect, to give you all things that are profitable and to protect you from all things that are harmful. And so He does. Atop Mount Sinai, He clarifies to His creatures the limits that He intends to bound them in. He gives them His commandments. Not just because he's a killjoy and wants to put fun on the other side of the fence and set up the barrier of the commandment between his creatures and what they really want to do, but because he is the Creator who, as you said in the collect, orders all things in heaven and on earth, who knows you more intimately and better than you know you, who knows what's harmful and what's profitable better than you do, and so he gives you his law, not just to keep you from having a good time, but in order that he might put his creation back into order, that his creatures may function as he intended, and that they might receive, even in his commandments, the gifts he intends to give. Sure, the commandments condemn you as a sinner, and they make you need Jesus, but they also hearken you back to Eden, before the fall into sin, where things functioned the way they were intended to, where the limits were good, and they kept Adam and Eve dependent upon their Creator, and everyone knew his place. So with each commandment, God intends to tell you what your place is, and to keep you in that place where he can deliver to you a good gift. So with the first commandment, where God prohibits you to have any other gods, the gift he intends to give to you is himself. And with the second commandment, when he forbids you to use his name improperly or to fail to use it properly, the gift he intends to give to you is his name, with which he marked you in holy baptism, with which he gives you access to himself and bids you pray, praise, and give thanks to him. In the third commandment, where he commands you to remember the Sabbath day, to hear the word of God gladly and to receive it, and not to despise preaching and his word, the gift that he gives to you is his word, so that it would give to you his gift of faith, that it would be the instrument by which he gives you faith and keeps you in faith. The fourth commandment, where he commands you to honor your parents and other authorities, the gift that he gives are those authorities. Your parents, his gift of family, the first order within creation, where he gives to everyone a proper role, and he gives to you parents to lead you and to catechize you. In the fifth commandment, he gives to your neighbor the gift of life, and he entrusts you with the task of guarding your neighbor's life, helping and supporting him in every physical need. In the sixth commandment, he gives to your neighbor the gift of marriage, and he charges you with the task of guarding your neighbor's marriage by forbidding you to commit adultery, that husbands and wives love and honor each other. In the seventh commandment, he gives to your neighbor all of his goods, his property, his stuff, and he charges you with taking care of your neighbor's possessions and helping him to improve his possessions and income. In the eighth commandment, God gives to your neighbor a good reputation and charges you with using your words to guard his reputation and his good name. And in the ninth and the tenth commandments, where God prohibits coveting, desiring that which is outside of what he gives, the gift that God intends for you to have is contentment, satisfaction, and thanksgiving for the gifts that he gives. So repent of thinking you know a better way than your Creator. Repent of thinking that you, clever as you are, know what's really harmful to you and what's really profitable, and if God would just listen to you, then you could have those things that you truly need. Repent and submit to your Heavenly Father's will as the Collect teaches you to do. That God would keep you from harm and give you what's profitable is exactly what's going on in Mark 8, where this crowd is so dead set on keeping the third commandment, on hearing the word of God gladly and receiving it, that they have been with Jesus for 3 days and have forgotten their most basic bodily needs to eat. They're so enamored, they're so in love with the Word of God and with the incarnate Word himself that that's all that they can think of. And what does he do? Even before they pray that God would keep them from all things harmful and give to them all things profitable, Jesus has compassion. This is God in human flesh, the Creator who first formed Adam out of the dirt of the ground, who breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, who planted him in a garden and gave him all the paradise around except for one tree that he might eat from and be nourished and fed, who planted the tree of life and gave Adam sustenance day by day, who gave him life from the tree. This is that Creator in human flesh. And when his creatures are hungry, it moves him to his very core. He has compassion. It moves his guts. Out there in a desolate place, Jesus gives bread. And so the desolate place, because the Creator of the Garden of Eden is there with his creatures, by Jesus' presence is no longer a desolate place. It becomes the Garden of Eden. And Jesus is himself the tree of life, feeding his creatures with what they need. And so 4,000 people go home fed and hungry with leftovers to spare. Jesus is the answer to what you pray in the collect, that God would take away what's harmful and would give you what's profitable. But not just bread. Not just daily bread, Jesus gives to you himself. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes away what's harmful to you, what St. Paul says earns you death, that is your sin, and he gives to you what's profitable for you. He keeps the commandments he prescribes from the top of Mount Sinai, and he gives those to you. In him, you are a rightly ordered creation. You are a creature perfectly dependent upon your Creator. You are one who submits perfectly to your Heavenly Father's will, because in Jesus, he takes away what's harmful to you, your own sin, and he gives to you what's profitable, his own perfect righteousness. And this blessed exchange continues in the Lord's church. And so this here, a desolate place in the wasteland of the world, becomes a fertile garden where the incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ himself, still descends to feed his creatures. But now, not with bread and fish. From mere bread and wine, he feeds you with his own body and blood. He gives you a foretaste far greater than those 4,000 received in Mark 8. He gives you a foretaste of the new creation, a taste of paradise with his own flesh and blood, which remove from you what's harmful and give to you what's profitable. At his altar, then, is a glimpse of Eden, not to see but to taste. From the take and eat to the crowd in Mark 8 to now the take and eat, the command and invitation of your Lord at his rail, Jesus protects you from the harm of your sin, from the harm of your own sinful flesh and your inclination to do damage to your own body with the sin that you would indulge in. He guards you from the harm that the world seeks to inflict on you, and he feeds you with what is profitable: forgiveness for all your sin, life that endures beyond the grave, and salvation, fully and completely and perfectly. The incarnate Lord who fed his creatures, who can feed thousands from 7 measly loaves and a few pickled fish, is the Lord who, in speaking his body into existence in bread, and speaking his blood into existence in mere wine, will feed you at this little Eden until the day of his return. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.